The Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast is brought to you by Magical Vacation Planner by Caris for help planning your next Disney vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris-Milano. Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, Knott's Berry Farm goes Greece and announces its summer night's plans. A fan favorite returns and an oddly placed new entertainment offering is announced at California Adventure. And Universal Studios Hollywood announces more about its Jeff Goldblum-less Jurassic World attraction. Plus, a little bit later on, what was going on this weekend? What happened? Anybody? Something? Oh, I can't. What? Oh, yeah, that's right. Star Wars opened. Galaxy's Edge opened, and we have some special guests here to give us their first impressions of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. No reservations required. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast for the week of June 3rd, 2019. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. And today, I am joined by our associate producer, Brandis Strautman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Knott's Berry Farm reporter and permanent John Strautman.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, John. Singer, actor, director, and a road trip reporter, Diane Hobday. Welcome,
hello.
Diane. Welcome back. Poet warlord, author of Skipper Stories, and owner of Dr. Skipper's Jungle Hut, or is it just Dr. Skipper's?
I shorten it just to Dr. Skipper.
Okay. So, owner of Dr. Skipper's on Etsy, Dr. David Marley. Welcome back, Dr.
Hey,
David.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And our special guest this week, going to be joining us throughout the show, special guest, current Skipper, and daughter of our road trip reporter, Diane Hobday, Miss Kate Brandt. And welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much.
All right. And she brought a special guest along with her, too. Who is that?
I got an adoptable at Galaxy's Edge. His name's Skippy. He is actually a porg, so he's my new little friend I brought with me.
And we're going to be talking all about that later. So welcome back, everybody. Just a couple of cleanup items here, a couple of reminders. And we'll be talking about this later, but Brandis did an awesome live video stream of the Calico River Rapids ride over at Knott's Berry Farm. It's on our Facebook page, so if you haven't gotten a chance to check that out, go check it out. It's a lot of fun to watch. Also, apologies again for about the random show schedule. We're going to have one more show again on the 16th. It's going to be a regularly scheduled show, and then after that, we're going to go. We won't be taking a full summer break this year. I want to get more content out because I've been so irregular about getting the show out. So we're going to do two shows over the summer. We're going to do one show in July and one show in August. We're going to sort of preview the upcoming events for the coming year. So June 16th will be our last regularly scheduled show, and then we'll announce a show in July, and we'll announce a show in August. So that will be a lot of fun. Anybody else have anything? Anybody catching up on anything? Anybody been to the parks lately other than Star Wars Galaxy's Edge?
Actually been to Knott's a lot lately.
Oh, yeah? How's it been? Has it been busy? Is it picking up? Any
crazy busy?
Last night it was so busy, John and I could not find a place to sit for our dinner. So we ended up sitting on the wall planter area in the line for the merry-go-round.
And how's that? You guys have the meal pass, right?
Yes. Oh, I took a picture last night because I wanted to post it. We tried something new last night, and it was pretty impressive.
What was it?
We went to the cantina, which is the first place we ate with our dining pass. But this time I got the tostada salad, and he still got the burritos, same as last time. But it was a huge amount of food.
All right.
And they go heavy on the sour cream and guacamole, surprisingly.
Awesome. Yeah, but it's not like real, real guacamole.
It's green.
Yeah, like
halfway there.
Like guacamole sauce. You know, like
you got the color right.
You got the color right.
That's all important. Right. That's baby steps.
Yeah. It's all mental. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, just thank you guys for that. And we're going to just remind you that we're going to be live from both our Instagram and our Facebook feeds from Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And we're going to be creating a new vlog. And I still have those other vlogs to get up. But June 7th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., I am going to be getting my Star Wars Galaxy's Edge on. And from what I heard kind of offline here from Diane, that is the perfect time to get in. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later if you have a reservation to see Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So in addition to the other thousands of videos and hundreds of videos by everybody out there, make sure to tune into your favorite podcast channels, live stream on our Instagram and Star Wars feed on June 7th. So with that, we're going to head straight into it. We have a lot to talk about today. It's time for Park Hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour.
Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
Welcome one and all, y'all come have a ball, things are very fine, riding on the old Raspberry line.
Coming is our news segment, and for that we're going to head on over to Permanent John. John, what's going on at Knott's Berry Farm?
Knott's Berry Farm summer heats up with bands, games, food, and return of Snoopy Musical and Ghost Town Alive. Knott's Berry Farm is getting ready for summer with the return of some favorite activities as well as some new offerings as part of its Summer Nights promotion. That's Grease, right?
That is Grease.
All right, well, I'm going to go, well, Knott's kicked off it. Oh, wait, that's the wrong song.
No, that's the right song?
Okay. That was the right song. Kicked off its slate of summer offerings on May 17th with the debut of Calico River Rapids. Calico River Rapids, a water raft ride, will thrill riders as they experience exciting animatronics, special effects, and other surprises as they splash and swoosh their way along roaring rapids. Ghost Town Alive, it will be back selected days May 24th through September 2nd. The popular experience involves immersed theming in the park's historic ghost town themed area where guests can interact with the citizens of Calico as they go about their lives in the Old West. This year, there will be a new storyline to continue the tale. Also returning to Knott's, Beach Blanket Beagle at the Charles M. Schulz Theater June 7th through August 11th. The music is lush with beach-based tunes from the 60s and 70s, fun choreography and cool costumes. It stars Snoopy and ends with a memorable Lua. I should have known that. Okay.
Before we go on, that's kind of the halfway point of the story. Let's talk. You guys are big fans of Ghost Town Alive, right? I know John and Brandon
yes.
are. Are you still, Diane, are you still a Knott's Berry Farm annual pass holder?
Yes.
Okay.
I have yet to visit Ghost Town Alive.
Okay.
So this will be the first year. I have plans to go in the next couple of weeks, actually.
So John and Brandy, for those of people out there that do not know what Ghost Town Alive is, can one of you, what is Ghost Town Alive?
So what they do is they've got a storyline on the whole Calico.
The town. Like every year it's a different story. Before it was who owns Calico, who has the deed. Oh, I can't remember the name of the two. Is it the bad guys? The comical
like
bad guys.
The McCoys or something?
Yeah, the McCoys. That's what it was. Was it the McCoys?
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, or is it, you know, the mayor or something? Like who owns Calico? And they had forged it in the end. And then there's the bank robbery. And,
spoiler alert. Come on.
Well, no, it's a different story every year. I'm sorry you didn't make it to that one. So, yeah, but it gets
a little bit like Game of Thrones spoilers at this point. If you haven't been, if you don't know, then you don't just, it's too late now.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore dies.
Oh.
Oh.
See, that's just me. That's just me.
I lost a friend over that one.
Han Solo doesn't make it out to the end. Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father, guys. Did you know that?
What?
Wow, what an ending. Who'd have thought Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?
Aw, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Blow the Picture for me.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, so the whole thing is you, it ends at 5 with a hoedown every year. That part's fun. But it starts like you could join whichever side. They try to recruit you. They ask you to run errands. And then there's people not involved in the storyline that are just living their lives there that ask you to do things.
I feel like that's me sometimes at work. Just I'm not involved in the storyline. I just want to live my life.
So it's just a lot of fun, especially for kids. And there's things too, like they'll ask you to deliver something and then give you little hobby horses, you know, to deliver it on. They're all dressed in character and they stick to character. Like we, 1 year we caught an inconsistency and called them on it and they were able to switch the story really quick to make it work.
You guys are those people.
No, yeah. She is not me.
They're John's really just there for the food. Don't you remember?
That's right.
Yeah. And the mustache.
With John Love. Yeah, that's right.
They
have their mustaches are better this year.
Oh, okay, cool. and then like the sheriff in his like sheriff abode, whatever that's called, they do like poker game.
Okay.
And then like you can win.
Except
like
it's not poker, it's something else. And they teach the kids how to play.
Oh, so they teach them how to gamble? It's
kind of.
Let's go fish.
But yeah. And so the barber shop, you do get a free mustache of your choice.
That's fun.
And I haven't gotten it yet this year, but I noticed several kids walking around with them and they're a lot better this year.
Now are people participating? Because Disneyland did something like this. It was like Tales from Frontierland. I don't know what it's called. It's called something from Frontierland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Legends of Frontierland or something like that. And it was fun. We kind of did it. Are people into this? Like, do people go and like participate? Or are there people that are wandering around going, what the hell is happening here?
No, there's like a flock of kids and parents.
Okay. Yeah, and there's some people that like are pass holders like us that every time we go there, they even come almost in costume themselves.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they have a whole underworld.
Kate actually participated in this.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, go ahead. When I was in AP back when I want to say maybe I was in high school, I went over and when it was the Legends of Frontierland, you were able to go ahead and earn these coins from doing different kind of jobs. And then what you could always do is you would put these coins to use and you would be able to purchase like a plot of land within Rainbow Ridge area. And they had like a whole fight between Rainbow Ridge and I believe it was Thunder or what was the name of that was Thunder. Paris. It was like,
isn't Rainbow Ridge from Mario Kart?
That's the Rainbow Bridge. So, but yes, it's very
isn't
similar.
Isn't that where
that's
your dead pets go?
That's where.
That's Rainbow where pets Ridge. Go, yes.
Your pets go when they die? The Rainbow Bridge? So, all right. So that's, I mean, that just sounds like, to me, like I'm involved in theater. I know Diane is also involved in theater. And to me, this just seems anxiety inducing. I can't do these kinds of things.
I actually have quite a few friends who are participating in Ghost Town Live this year.
One of our good friends is the deputy mayor.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, all right. So, okay. So that's it. I wanted to talk a little bit about Ghost Town Live because that seems to be very popular. This is, I believe it's 30 year back and it seems like this is a thing that people enjoy. Not me personally. But
I would say it's more enjoyed by pass holders because the storyline goes all day and because it's so crowded in the summer. If you're there visiting for like a day only that year, you're not going to want to get involved in the story when you got to go wait in line.
Yeah.
Like if they ask you to run an errand for them and you're like, but the line's really short right now over on.
Do people like volunteer? So the people that aren't pass holders, like do you see people volunteering for this or do you see people just kind of ignoring it and going like, hey, I want to go ride Supreme Scream or whatever?
Yeah. It seems like they would rather just do the ride, the things that they're there for anyway. And it's kind of like, oh, that's weird. What's going on here?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's continue on with the rest of the story because we still have more summer nights to put our leather jackets on and I don't know. Whatever they do in Greece.
Yeah, rock around the clock.
Rock around the clock.
I got a pink lady jacket I could wear to it.
That's true. Knott's will also be launching summer
nights.
I would
pay you money to do that.
Girls' night?
Girls' night.
All right.
Sexist.
All right.
You can wear a pink jacket too.
Fair enough. Knott's will also be launching summer nights, a new event with live music, food and games, June 7th through August 11th. Knott's live entertainment will feature a variety of bands, including Suburban Legends, Hiatus, and Suffragettes, among others that rotate during the event nightly. Guests can rock out to the top 40s bands at the Calico Mine stage and bop to beats of the Boardwalk DJ around Charleston Circle Fountain. Oversized classic games and festoon lighting will be set the stage for the guests to enjoy their summer nights at Knott's, while the Knott's party crew encourages fun and games and competitions that will bring out the competitor in everyone. Topping off summer nights will be a wide selection of specialty foods, including build-your-own s'mores station, nacho boats, grilled peach cobbler, and handcrafted ice cream flavors. The Knott's Summer Nights tasting card provides sampling of delicious, one-of-a-kind summertime items at select locations through the Midway for only $35.
Can I interrupt real quick to point out that it appears beer and wine are included on the tasting card this time?
Oh, wow, really?
It appears. I'll find out.
So I have the flyer. So, okay, so first of all, I'm going to call out Knott's once again. It's probably why they don't invite us anywhere for their website, because when you go on their website, there is literally nowhere where you can just find a, like, what is included on the tasting card. Now, I have that here, but only because I downloaded their flyer. Also, if you go to our Facebook page, about a month or so ago, Brandis posted the a photo or a picture of the actual flyer. So we always do this right before lunch. Do you guys want to know what's included on the tasting card for $35?
I already know, but go ahead.
All right. So, well, thank you. I will. So you can choose from 8 of the following items below. You can get an ice cream cone, a cookie wedge, kettle corn, fruit salad, something called churro loops.
Farmers I'm picturing a bowl of, like, just cereal.
I feel like I need these churro loops now. and then I'm going to take a nap afterwards. The farmer's market shortcake, a peach crumble, a corn cup.
It's like the Mexican corn, but it's in a cup.
That seems unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Elote in a cup.
Yeah, some of the fancy Mexican restaurants do that, and it's just like...
Well, speaking of fancy Mexican restaurants, they also have fish tacos, salad bowl. You can get a seasonal sausage on a bun. That just moving on. Chili in a cornbread bowl, chili corn chip pie.
That sounds good.
Fritos pie, right? But they can't say Fritos. chicken and veggie skewer, a veggie skewer, which why bother at that point? A shrimp and sausage skewer. You can get flavored lemonades, assorted craft beers, assorted wines, and a fudge dipped apple. So those are the things for $35. You can select 8 of those. And it does appear that the beer and wine is included on the...
And there's not much boysenberry wise.
Actually, yeah,
that's what the boysenberry festival's for.
I agree.
They ran out of boysenberries.
The boysenberry festival just ran them, just cleaned them all out. So now you're stuck with generic Frito pie. All right. So anything else, John, on that story?
Most locations and items are available from 6 p.m. until park closing. Must be 21 and older for alcoholic beverages.
All right. Well, this sounds like
Thank
a lot of fun.
Thank you for finishing that story. That was important information.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, knowing that
yeah,
starts
6 to 10.
Yeah, knowing that it doesn't start till the evening. That's
so it's
pretty
literally,
yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, I kind of knew that. Although it's called summer nights.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because, like, Knott's is open until, what, 10 o'clock?
No, some weekends it's open till midnight.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Friday, Saturdays.
During the summer. Okay.
All the way to midnight.
That's crazy.
They're crazy
in
Buena Park.
And until 1 a.m. on 4th of July.
And
they have fireworks.
I feel like
I heard their fireworks are better than Disneyland, but I think it's because they only do it 3 times a year instead of nightly.
It's a bold statement.
So they have less time to practice and make it right.
Well, no, they have more money to do more spectacular.
I think there's no scenario in which Knott's Berry Farm has more money than Disneyland for anything.
That's true. Yeah.
I feel like
except more boysenberry options.
I feel like Knott's.
I'm pretty sure Disney could buy more boysenberries if it wanted to. pretty sure.
Just hold them all for a ransom. I feel like Knott's Berry Farm staying open until midnight is like me when I turned 35. You know, just you used to party until 2 o'clock, but now like if you stay up till 11, it's, you know, just, we're getting wild. We're staying up until midnight, you know. So, I will say this. We're kind of making fun of it, but does it sound like a lot of fun, right? Does it sound like fun to anybody else?
Yes, I am actually planning several nights there. Sorry if I got too excited there on the microphone.
No, it's fine. It's fine. David's the problem today.
What?
No, you're different. You're fine.
I was going to say, she just told listeners that she's wearing a Knott's Berry Farm shirt, so she's clearly, clearly biased.
My favorite Knott's Berry Farm.
And purple sunglasses.
And she's been brainwashed. Let's
purple
just put it
scrunchies.
That way.
Yes, she's clearly.
Yeah. Clearly, this is what Knott's Berry Farm is doing for
wait. And purple shoes.
And she has the purple sandals on as well today. And her purple backpack. She is
the epitome of boysenberry.
She's like Violet Beauregard, except Violet Beauregard turned into a boysenberry.
I had a bus driver at work that I have never spoken to before tell me I looked like Barney.
Well, that's nice.
First of all, that's a way to age yourself, like making the Barney reference. Like, nobody's made a Barney reference in 15 years. So But this sounds like fun. This sounds like old school Knott's Berry Farm. I think all of us are here old enough to remember, you know, when Knott's used to do a lot of stuff like this. You know, they used to bring in the DJs and the bands, and yeah. You know, I remember seeing, you know, used to be like back in the day, they used to be like bringing like country acts. I remember seeing the Dixie Chicks before they became the Dixie Chicks. Oh, wow. You know, but this sounds like more top 40 suburban legends. Sounds,
were they the hillbilly cool. Chicks or
no? I think there was
suburban legends are legit.
No, yeah, suburban yeah, legends yeah. are legit. Agreed. You know, they perform over at Disneyland and or used to perform at Downtown Disney, but yeah, this sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like.
So I have a question. It mentioned a nacho boat in John's article. Not on the tasting card.
It may not be on the tasting card. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not on the tasting card. But what is a nacho boat? Is it like a boat made out of nachos that they float in cheese?
I'm gonna guess it's like one of those like paper like serving trays. I don't know. We should go and get one.
Well, yeah, and I'm also wondering what's gonna be on the dining pass.
Oh yeah, that they didn't release. They haven't released that information either.
Yeah.
So, I want to know what
is it seasonal, a nacho boat?
I want to know what a seasonal sausage is. Like, I don't know.
Summer sausage. Maybe like there a hot is dog. Literally summer something called summer a sausage. Summer sausage.
There is, which means a winter sausage is coming.
Oh. And that could be taken two ways.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, moving on. So not summer nights. We'll be there during the summer. I'm gonna make it a point to actually use my pass and get out there and do some vlogging and stuff this summer. This sounds like good. Sounds like fun. But all right, moving on. We are going to talk about a couple of things coming to California Adventure this summer. John?
Tale of the Lion King arrives at Disney California Adventures.
Real quick,
summer.
Is it spelled T-A-I-L?
No, but it should be.
No. Because that would just be a story about his tail, and that would be.
No, okay. I'm so glad that you said that because I'm not the only one that thought that, right? It should be T-A-I-L.
Kind of like a buffet.
It, right? I'm nothing if not consistent.
Tail wag with authority.
Sorry, John.
It's okay. This summer, Disney California Adventure Park celebrates the beloved characters and music of Disney's The Lion King with an imaginative new adaptation of the timeless story, presented as a high theatrical outdoor musical production entitled Tale of the Lion King. The show features a cast of 18 performers who form an ensemble called the Storytellers of the Pride Lands. This traveling troupe specializes in retelling revered stories in their own contemporary style, weaving their tale through language, song, and dance. For Disney fans with long memories, the Disneyland Resort hosted Disney's first Lion King theme park production, the Lion King Celebration Parade, that ran from 1994 through 1997 in Disneyland Park.
Did they call it a pride parade?
They get into enough trouble with that.
That was the only Disney parade I really liked. And I hate the Lion King musical and movie with all my heart. It's the worst thing Disney's ever done. Parade was awesome.
You realize you are the only person on Earth.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine being the only person who's correct about how bad the Lion King sucks. So.
My son loved that movie because the dad died.
Same with Samuel's a bit of a mama's boy. Yeah.
Here's some advice. Take him out before he turns 16. That's just for me to you.
I know, right? Let's see. Where was I? Four of the floats from the parade were then sent to Walt Disney World in Florida to provide the core show until the Festival of the Lion King show at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Which is awesome. That's one of my favorite things. When I go to Walt Disney World, that's one of my must-dos at Walt Disney World is the Festival of the Lion King show. It's incredible. And now that it's in an air-conditioned building, it's even better because it's Florida. But other than David's irrational hatred of quite possibly Disney's best movie ever, does anybody else, what is it?
I don't hate Beauty and the Beast. Why would you say that?
Which I got to.
Yeah, that one is my favorite.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy Lion King.
I'm a sucker for Little Mermaid.
You know, I'm going to ask
you. You just like her bra shell thing.
No, I like the songs.
You guys realize she's 16, right? Like, you know.
I didn't agree to what she said.
I'm gonna ask David's wife, who's in the corner, and she doesn't have to come over here, because The Lion King is one of my favorite.
Can I just point out she's wearing a Beauty and the Beast shirt?
She's wearing a Beauty and the Beast shirt. But the if you don't know, The Lion King is very loosely based on a Shakespearean story. It's the story of Hamlet. It's one of my favorite things about it. Scar is the most Shakespearean villain in the Disney canon. Deb is a Shakespeare, dare I say, expert. Deb, what is your opinion on The Lion King?
Oh, goodness.
She only said that because her husband hates it.
I do right now. No. Oh, no. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. She's very much a woman of her own mind. Yeah,
clearly, you don't know her enough.
I also want to point out, because you mentioned it was like a loose base of a Shakespeare thing. That was really big in the 90s, like all the movies were.
Yeah. The Much Ado About Nothings and the Romeo and Juliets.
That actually was Shakespeare. Those actually were Shakespeare, not based on Shakespeare. They were.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You. There was one I can't remember. It was like, but there was also one. Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't remember her name. She was on 10 Things I Hate About You.
Julia Stiles.
There you go. Julia Stiles. And I think it was based on Othello, but I can't remember the name of the movie.
Oh.
It was like a dance
movie.
It was
called O.
Yeah.
We liked it. Yeah, we liked it. Unlike The Lion King, we liked it. We enjoyed it.
Now the thing,
but that was just the thing with the 90s. So every movie, they were like running out of ideas. So now we're in the 2010s, everything was based then on remakes.
The Lion King 1.5 is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, which is from the
And the whole thing was that Lion King 2 was Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, that's dumb. I don't,
exactly. So you kept going.
Wait, there
though.
Was a Lion King too.
Yes, there was a Lion King too.
And did Simba kill himself?
What? No, no. No, it was more about like star-crossed lovers based, like Simba's daughter loves an outsider. And so
Nala was her name, right?
Is the, yeah, she Kiara was the baby.
Oh, so she didn't Nala's stab herself with a claw.
No.
But what was that? David?
Of course, this is loosely based.
Oh, no. This is all staying. Yeah, this is all staying. All of these wrong opinions are staying.
It's a circle of life.
So you're and I'll say it again. Once again, David and Deb's wrong opinion on The Lion King.
Jeffrey Katzenberg and his lack of creativity. He went from Lion King to Shrek. That shows you how just his ideas are crap. Sorry.
Wait, what? Shrek? Shrek
is verifiably a piece of crap and garbage. It's 90 minutes of fart jokes.
I am so glad I have not added you as a friend on Facebook. And
you're lucky she's sitting on the other side of the table.
She's going to add you as a friend just to unfriend you.
Yeah.
But I have to announce before I unfriend
it's a
him.
Downhill. It's a downhill slide of just stupidity and junior high fart jokes.
I wasn't a fan of Shrek either, I'll be honest.
Shrek is awful.
I like the musical, though.
Well, the musical is even worse. It's the only thing that could have been worse than the movie was the musical.
I don't mind Shrek. Shrek is not my favorite movie, but the musical is.
Here's the deal with Shrek. I'll say this about Shrek. I went and saw Shrek with a bunch of friends of ours, and they were real quiet. And they said, "What did you think?" I said, they thought it was funny. I said, "All it does is make fun of, most of it just makes fun of Disney and Disney ideas." And I go, "And it's very easy to make fun of things and mock things. I know that because that's what I do for a living. But it's difficult to make something that's magical and fantastic, which is what Disney does. So Disney does something much more difficult. DreamWorks comes along and adds fart jokes."
I'm going to bring this back to the topic. Okay.
What was the topic again?
Star Wars Land.
No. We're talking about the tale of the Lion
the tale
King.
Of the
and
Lion.
I.
Yeah.
Edited it down to a quick 20-minute podcast.
All right, so let's talk about this show. First of all, Disney, I wanted to do a whole story on this show and have find more information on it. And this is what I'm going to call out Disney for their crappy website, their crappy media website. There is no information other than the small little blurbs that I found on this show. And the second thing is, does anybody find the placement of this show odd? They're putting a Lion King themed show on the stage at Paradise Pier in California Adventure.
Oh yeah,
It's not the African Savannah.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, this is back when they had the festival arena. This is a show that would have gone in the festival arena, but that's Star Wars now, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes, hopefully. But like, this is clearly meant to divert people away from Disneyland.
Absolutely.
And go, but I just find the placement of this show just bizarre. And the fact that there's not much detail about it. They did post a YouTube video, which I'll post on the Facebook page and I'll post on our website. yeah, it just, you know, this is one of those, it seems like one of those filler things that somebody came up with, and it's clearly meant to promote the movie, you know, the quote unquote live action Lion King that's coming out in July, which David will be first in line for, I am sure.
Box office poison, along with that Aladdin disaster.
Yeah, you know that movie was like, it's made like its money back. Plus a little bit more, right?
Oh, our kids saw that yesterday. We'll have to ask them how it is.
It was like, yeah, it's like number one at the box office for 2 weeks in a row.
That doesn't make it right.
Sorry to deplete.
the popularity does not make things right.
But anybody excited about this? Anybody have any thoughts about the tale of the Lion King? Because I'm excited about the next portion of this story coming up. So
it's just a show. That's all it is. There's no Lion King themed food or anything.
There is Lion King.
No Simba sausage or.
Wow.
New topic. There is like themed food. The Disney cupcakes, which they love doing. But there's no other promotion around this thing other than, hey, here's this show. Go see the movie, which I'm sure they will throw in there at some point.
There's a theme.
What's that?
With the Lion King thing in Star Wars Land, it's the theme for this summer at Disney is for people who love movies that are cinematographically beautiful and their plots are just crap. So if you're like looking at a movie but not thinking too hard about it,
you can send
got shows for you.
By the way, you can send those emails to
Dr. Skipper.
Dr. Skipper on Instagram.
Dr. Skipper Marley on Instagram.
The thing is, it's so low-key that even I hadn't heard anything, and a lot of cast members don't even know that there's a Lion King show.
All right, so I don't know how much you can talk about, but I mean, what is the... Do you guys know anything about this? Like
very little. The only thing I found out was because when I went to my preview for Star Wars, we were sat with someone who's a performer for the show. And the thing is, all of a sudden we're like, oh, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a performer for the Lion King. We're like, Lion King? He's like, yeah, we have a new show coming up. And I'm like, I didn't even know anything about this.
Yeah. So if they're hoping that this is going to draw people away, they're going
to. So they pretty much can wait to be king.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And I'm just surprised that we actually haven't really heard much about it ourselves. Like, I don't even know anything. All I know is it's a lot more contemporary music themed and dancing.
Wait, I'm sorry, contemporary music. What do you mean?
They've taken the actual songs from the film and reorchestrated it to be more African feeling and more authentic sounding.
So I did not want to see this, and now I want to see it less if they're changing the music.
It's the same songs again, just orchestrated with a different feel. Yes, flair.
David,
I say less orchestration, so it's cheaper. That's what I was going to say. But but it's also the only thing that made me want to go see it. We're on opposite wavelengths today. I'm like, oh, they changed it. They made it more African. All right, I'd listen to that until I realized what I was watching. And
I'm
left.
Sorry, but I actually had the soundtrack as a teenager, so
I do not doubt that.
I love that movie. All right, so we're half hour in, and we're only like 2/3 of the way through our stories. John,
welcome to the 3-hour vacation land.
I love this.
I hope you guys have a road trip planned for the summer.
Yeah. All right. So, John, what else is going on in California? This is I'm genuinely excited about, and I hope that there are lines out the door for this. John, what else is going on in California Adventure?
Soarin' Over California returns to Disney California Adventure Park this June for a limited time.
Gloria a Dios.
So, yeah, really. The clouds parted and the angels sang and the leaning Eiffel Tower was no longer for a few months.
So you guys didn't like the new one?
Oh, the new one's awful. The new one's awful.
The new one is insultingly bad. It is such bad CGI and so horrible. And
see, I never experienced Soarin', California. I only experienced
California. Let's finish the story, and then we'll discuss it.
The epic aerial adventure Soarin' Over California returns to Disney California Adventure Park from June 1st to 30th. This beloved attraction is coming back for a limited time this summer. Take flight and enjoy a bird's eye view over California. The virtual tour celebrates the beauty and wonder of the Golden State, from San Francisco's iconic Golden Gate Bridge to the crashing waves in Malibu. You will be raised high into the air and surrounded by an immersive 80-foot projection dome to simulate the graceful motion of flight, while your senses will be teased with iconic scents from throughout California. Originally opened in 2001, Soarin' Over California became a fan favorite attraction. In 2016, the attraction became Soarin' Around the World, taking you over the many wonders of the world.
teased or from the majestic Swiss Alps to the Great Wall.
Not really. You're just in CGI form with fake polar bears jumping into the water.
Soaring around CGI.
The return of Soarin' over California adds to the exciting offerings available at Disney California Adventure Park this June.
So this is another one of those like, hey, annual pass holders, come over. Like, don't go over there. You guys don't want to go see Star Wars. Leave that to the full paying guy. Come over here to California Adventure. Remember that thing that you loved and ruined? We have that here now. Unpopular opinion. This is a day of unpopular opinions. I was never a big fan of Soarin' over California to begin with. I think Jurassic Park the Ride – sorry, not Jurassic Park the Ride. Back to the Future Ride did it much better. It's a domed IMAX screen that lifts you up and does the same thing that Soarin' over California did. But if I'm going to go on a Soarin' attraction, Soarin' over California is my favorite. Is anybody else excited that this is coming back?
I'm not a pass holder, so if you're taking me, sure.
All right, sure. I can get you into California Adventure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is we could probably ask you for a lot of California Adventure trips this summer.
Oh, yeah.
My first thought was I would go on it, then I would go to their city hall and complain about how bad the Soaring Around the World sucks.
Yeah.
And tell them to
I'm
keep
sorry,
the California
I'm sorry, do you think
one.
City Hall really would listen?
No.
I mean,
but if enough people go by there,
I think
go
this
to City
is a,
Hall.
And complain specifically and about that.
Clearly, this means that they could switch it out anytime that they wanted to. Because they are. For those of you that have not been on the Soarin' over the World or Soarin', I think it's just Soarin' now, they replaced these wonderful helicoptered shots of California with CGI garbage.
Badly done CGI.
Badly done CGI, so that if you're not sitting like in the center of the center section of the center, you know, seat, then everything leans to the left or the right. Which is me after a few hours in California Adventure, just at the bars. But, you know, so it's just, it is not a great experience. And this is the classic experience that, you know, we all went to, you know, for the first, you know, 11 years, 10 years of the park's life. And so, I'm personally very excited. I'm going to go ride it as many times as I can. And I'm going to go make all of my complaints to their city hall and say, please.
Okay. So there's a gathering here.
Do it. Yeah. File complaints.
The very thing is, the one thing I will argue that only Soarin' over the World that I think does better is the sensory. The smells are a lot more stronger than what it would be with Soarin' over California. Cause with over California, you really only get like two scents, and that's the scent of the ocean breeze and the scent of the orange groves.
We also get that wonderful pine salt smell when you go through like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. There's not really much smells that could do unless they're like swearing over Skid Row or
yeah, but the thing with Soarin' around the World is you get like the jasmine, you get the scent of the African savanna, and
we're back to the language.
Let's not go there again.
But that's the only thing I think I really like about Soarin' around the World is that they really put in a lot more sensory details to smell. Well, is in
maybe it's because doTERRA oils were really taken off when they created that one.
They're hoping that your senses will be overloaded so you won't notice how bad the CGI is.
Yeah, that's exactly probably what it is.
All right. So moving on to our last, thank you guys. Moving on to our last story. Guess who's coming to the Jurassic World attraction?
Oh, I like you. Like that you. Or I'm glad you added that end part.
Yeah.
Okay. This is okay. Jurassic World: The Ride is coming, and it's bringing the movie stars.
Trust me again. Lou, stand down. Stand down.
Hey. Universal Studios.
She's gonna get us an explicit tag today.
Seriously, this is a family show. All right, Universal Studios has managed, right? It is a family show, right?
It is. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we haven't gotten tagged with it explicit yet. So.
Okay. I mean, we mostly listen to it in front of our kids.
Universal Studios has managed to get the original actors to do their roles from the mega-sized Jurassic World franchise, from the reimagined Jurassic ride set to reopen sometime this summer. Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, and B.D. Wong are all back for the ride. They'll be part of what Universal says is an original storyline that takes visitors through the Jurassic World theme park when they visit Universal Studios Hollywood. New dinosaurs include the movies Rex and the aquatic Mosasaurus?
Mosasaurus.
Mosasaurus. Oh, okay. The Mosasaurus will be seen inside a dinosaur aquarium.
Mosasaurus split the water.
The new experience even shifts from day to night and responds to inclement weather, meaning you'll get a different experience if you manage to visit one of the few days Hollywood isn't sunny. The park has already announced a revamped entry area, which they say has been dramatically reimagined to reflect the Jurassic World films. Just like the original Jurassic Park ride, visitors will board specially designed rafts. The redesigned ride-through promises to bring the dinosaurs closer than ever to riders. Along the ride, you'll see friendly dinos like the Stegosaurus and the
Parasaurolophus.
Okay, thank you.
What is wrong with you two?
We have got like apparently like Diane and Kate are like paleontologists in their spare time.
That was when I was little. That was like my dream. Good.
I'm glad because if you're going to have to help me out with a few more of these.
There was a lot less dinosaurs known when I was a kid, so I only know Stegosaurus and Brontosaurus, which I don't think is even real anymore.
Patasaurus.
Along the more dangerous creatures like Velociraptors and Dilophosaurus.
Yeah, very good.
Also, new riders will also get to see T-Rex battle one of the brand new dinosaurs on display, right before fans take an 84-foot waterfall plunge to escape.
Wait, so I'm glad they kept that, but is there still going to be a surprise? Like,
yeah, it sounds like there's going to be like a battle, which makes me a little frightened because, so some of these things
They're not real dinosaurs.
Well, I mean,
what?
Okay. What?
I'm not giving them my money.
I'm out.
Unless I get real dinosaurs.
Real dinosaurs or you know what.
Okay. When the dinosaurs sing about how they want to be king when their dad dies. So that's what I want to know.
It's the baby T-Rex is singing it.
David's mic is officially muted. My fear with this is that all of these cool things that they're talking about. By the way, the Dilophosaurus is my favorite scene in that movie. Stick, stupid stick, as I've talked about many times here before.
Stupid! That's a stick, boy. Yes. You like a stick? Oh, I get it. And no wonder you're extinct. I'm gonna run you over when I come back down.
We must take note. You are also wearing your Jurassic Park T-shirt.
I am wearing my Jurassic Park T-shirt mostly because it was the one like clean thing that I can wear and go to work later on.
Hey, it works.
My fear is that some of these, like once you go inside, it's going to translate into just like what Universal Studio does best is screens, right? So a lot of screens and not so much animatronics. I'm going to miss it never worked, but the Jeep falling down the side and making the splash. And so, does the fact that they're including the stars from the movies make you want to do this anymore, any less?
No, it makes me think it's stupid.
Okay.
I actually saw a video, the promo video. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, where it looks like
the boat
is positioned in such a way in a dark room to where the Megalodon? Is that what it is? The underwater
Mosasaurus.
One? Oh, that's the Mosasaurus. Yes. Okay. Where it actually hits the glass to make it look like it's going to get you.
Okay. So we're probably talking screens. Yeah.
I kind of went ahead.
I have seen that one as well.
Went ahead and visited there kind of recently, not really, fairly recent. What it seems was when we were going on a backstage tour, it seemed like the entire first part of where you first originally entered is now domed, covered up. So it looks like it's going to be a lot more internal attraction than
that
outdoor.
Makes me worried.
So it seems like just like with the Calico River Rapids, they kept the same track.
Right, of course. Yeah.
There's not much you can
do
with that track.
Yeah. So there's still the drop, but like, so for those now, it's not a spoiler since they closed it. So how the ride was before is right before you dropped, you didn't know you were about to drop, and a Tyrannosaurus Rex popped out of the ceiling at you, and they did it so well that it scared you, so you're screaming from that, and then you drop, and so then now you're screaming for the drop.
I will say that my least favorite part, and if they're enclosing the entrance, like where you first like enter into it, now you can't see that stupid parking structure anymore from like, you know, the top of the head of the dinosaur. They're like, oh, there's my Kia, you know, on the seventh floor.
A Kiasaurus, please.
A Kiasaurus, yes.
It seems like it's going to be a lot more kind of, I guess, like you said, screens, like computer generated. But from going back to what you were saying about the scare with the drop.
Yeah.
I feel like the way they're wording it, it sounds like it's going to be dinosaurs on both sides and you're dropping between them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as long as it scares you and you scream and then you drop and still scream.
I think they're going to keep like the flashing effects and like all of a sudden they're both good. It would be kind of cool though if they're both kind of like they both like kind of
lunge at like, you at the same time.
Lunge at the same time yeah. towards you. That'd be scary though. Yeah. I'd probably freak out there.
If that actually happens, I'm going to have to go on it twice. One to get mm-hmm. the full effect, the other one to be looking behind me to watch him be like pulling apart.
That'd be
I've yeah. got some I've got
while
some
you're plunging, that's impressive. Yeah.
I'm excited about the new entrance. They're making a more like an interactive area where their like little playground area used to be. And so I'll go on it. I've got a couple of tickets. I bought a 3-day ticket pass to, you know, go see Universal Studios when it closed, and then I still have 2 more days left on that pass.
Well, let us know when you go because yeah. we'll go with you.
Yeah, okay, totally. Cool.
That sounds like fun. All right, we'll do that. Anybody, any other last final thoughts on the Jurassic World attraction other than, as Diane pointed out when we before we started the show, nobody seems to know when this thing is opening. It's just summer. And
they
just,
they haven't announced it.
I even checked with my inside sources. I got nothing back.
Yeah, so... lots of changes coming to Universal Studios, but all right. Well, that's it for now. Though that's going to do it for our new segment. Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Except David. He's hey. Clearly wrong. No, I'm kidding. That was thank you.
Don't bring it up again.
Let's just drop it while it's out there.
All right. So thank you guys for participating in that segment. So, okay, I'm going to turn it over, and we're going to see how long this discussion goes. But... like I said, we are going to be, so in case you haven't noticed, there was a little bit of a celebration, a big kind of big deal happening over at Disneyland, which we have been.
Is it the anti-vaxxer protest?
It was the anti-vaxxer protest. That was the, so stupid. You know, we've been covering it here. Everybody's been covering it. Every blogger, every media outlet in Kingdom Come has been covering Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And as of this past Friday, it finally opened. I shared the live stream of the dedication ceremony from Thursday night. The media blackouts have been listed on all the cast members, on all the media outlets. And now we have an opportunity to visit the land on the 7th. And I will be doing some live videos. We'll also be creating a new blog. But the reason, other than we enjoy their company, the reason that we have Diane and Kate and David here is that they have actually been to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I almost call it Star Wars Land. I'm not going to.
Star Wars Land.
They have actually been to Star Wars Galaxy.
You guys agreed on something.
Yeah. Right?
That was strange.
See, anything is possible. Anything is possible. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys, and I just want to get your guys' number one, you had the reservations, and so I want to get your impressions on how it went, what you saw, did you get on any of the attractions, did you buy any merchandise? I want to know firsthand from your guys' perspective what you saw and how it went. So,
and if you had the blue or green,
if you had the blue or the green milk, and how you know, did we go to Oga's Canteen and have an adult beverage at Disneyland, you know, for the first time in 60 something years. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys. You guys feel free to just discuss, just start from the beginning. Who wants to go first?
You want to go first?
All right. Okay. So when we were deciding on our reservation dates first, we felt that the first window would be ideal because when you're allowed to arrive 2 hours prior, and we were able to get to the parking lot around 5:45 in the morning. They opened it up around that time. And so great parking spot even because no one else is there. But when you arrive, they allow you to enter the park 2 hours early to your reservation times. And the window of the 8 o'clock is very perfect because you're the first group in there. There's only a certain amount of people, and the next group doesn't come in till around 11. So you have all that time yourself to go ahead and visit.
That's cool to know because my reservation on Friday the 7th starts at 8 o'clock. So that's actually one of the reasons I chose that reservation time was A, because I want to see it during the day, and B, because it just – was what seemed like one of the first ones. If I'd gone on a weekend, I would have had to have chosen either a later afternoon or an evening one. And I want my first impressions to be of it during the day. So that's good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful time during the daytime. And you really are, it really, with no one else there, like without the overlap of the times, it actually works really well.
What time do they actually, if you have that 8 o'clock reservation, what time do they actually let you into the park? I know you said the parking structure opens at 5:45, but what time do you, can you actually get into the park?
You can get in the park at 6 o'clock because it's 2 hours before your window. And then, but they start letting you over. So
is anything, is anything open?
No.
No, it's all closed. So they, it's basically waiting.
Except the Galaxy Grill is open for breakfast options.
Okay.
Did they walk you over to?
Hey, that's nice because when Knott's does early entry stuff, there's nothing open to eat or drink.
Right. What happens is you go to Launch Bay in Tomorrowland and they give you your wristbands and then you just have to hang in Tomorrowland till 7:45.
Which is something that they're not like really putting. All the media outlets have been talking about this kind of like intermittently, but Disneyland is not saying like there's nothing on the website or in your invitation that says, hey, go to Launch Bay. It's just kind of people are figuring, I guess they're telling you as you're going in.
Right.
And there's also signs outside when you park in the parking structure that said, hey, by the way, you can't go into Galaxy's Edge. Like there's signs everywhere.
Yeah.
That say reservations.
They line you
up at entrance, letting people in early.
Yeah.
They line you up at the edge of the Galaxy Grill. Right on the side of the Matterhorn, which is the eating spot right at Tomorrowland Terrace area. And then at 7:45, they usher you across behind the Matterhorn, across Fantasyland, and in through the Frontierland pathway. Yeah. And then you wait again until the 8 o'clock rope drop, I guess, and then you scatter. I think the best suggestion to do is go straight to the attraction, which is what we did. We had a whole 8 minute wait. It was fabulous.
Whoa.
We were able to ride, get out, and then go straight over to the cantina. And if you do that, then we had about a 40 minute wait to get, just to get in. Nice. Once you're inside, you have a 45 minute time limit to be in there. I don't know how they gauge that though. And you have a 2 drink maximum. And there are alcoholic beverages available.
And so there are alcoholic beverages available at like 8:15 in the morning.
That's debatable about the alcohol content in any of those beverages.
All right, so I had one and it was pretty potent.
What did you have?
I had the what was it
we
called?
The nub,
whatever it was called. Okay. And then that other party.
Were you at
in
the bar?
No, we were in the
at a table or a booth.
In a booth.
Okay.
All right. So David, did you have the same experience?
Ours was almost identical, okay. Although they were smarter by going to the Falcon first. We went to the cantina first and then the Falcon. And I think if you listen to previous episodes, I made fun of Star Wars Land a lot. Matter of fact, I will call it Star Wars Land till I die. I made fun of it a lot. I love Star Wars. I think the plot
What did I tell you?
What did you tell me?
The first thing I told David was, I make sure that you, when I found out that David was going to Star Wars Land, the first thing I told him was, please live stream them as they escort you out of the park.
I did want to wear a Star Trek shirt, and I did want to go to the cantina and order a Romulan ale.
Oh, one of our party did wear Star Trek stuff.
About Klingons, and they just stared at me. Because it's the superior franchise. But I was ready to hate it, and I've never been so amazed at anything ever. About 20 minutes in, I thought they should tear this down and build an entire Star Wars theme park. And then 20 minutes after that, I thought, I should get my annual pass again. Because I'm going to come back here.
And then you go.
And then you can see the Lion King show, and maybe it will change your opinion.
Not a chance in hell. I don't want to be that bold, but not a chance in hell. And then 20 minutes after going back into the regular park, I went, oh yeah, I'm never getting an annual pass. What the hell was I thinking?
But they had you for those like
they had me briefly until I realized that I think that we can talk about this later, but I thought that Star Wars Land makes the rest of Disneyland look a little hokey. And I never thought I would say that or feel that or experience
it. It does remove you totally from the Disneyland experience.
But when I walked in back to Disneyland, I'm like, huh, this isn't as cool as I thought it was. For, I don't know, the last 50 years of my life.
Yeah.
But we went to the cantina first, and when we got there, maybe it was our waiter didn't know any better, but we had a menu that had 2 drinks on it.
Yeah.
And he goes, here's for the morning. They have a morning menu. I have 2 predictions about Star Wars Land. The first one is the morning menu at the bar will be gone soon.
Okay.
Because they serve you 2 drinks, both of which are awful and contain no alcohol. Mm. One is like a hot Irish coffee. And one is like a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
And the guys I tried them with, we were passing around, I'm like, do you notice any booze? And like the bartender, our waiter's like, I don't know if these have rum in them or booze or not. We're like, it says rum. We can get you another one. And the manager came over. He's like, yeah, it's there should be alcohol in there. There was
should
nothing.
Be.
So my friend who was with us was like, yeah, they don't serve alcohol at Disneyland, and they still don't serve alcohol at Disneyland. But my friends who went to the evening menu said, yeah, there was booze and it was great. And I learned from a friend of mine that's a bartender at Trader Sam's. If you go to Trader Sam's and Chantiki Bar, they mix the drinks for you. At the cantina, they're pre-mixed like in a giant vat. So they just
pull they just didn't shake it.
It's a giant vat of stuff. You can't shake I don't. This might piss off more of your fine listeners, but I don't like coffee. I don't drink. I've had coffee twice in my life. Both times at Disneyland. Both of them against my will.
To be fair, before Starbucks arrived at Disneyland, Disneyland coffee was notoriously awful.
Okay.
So it just, well, it's not.
Why didn't know Starbucks was at Disneyland? That's why their coffee's so good.
A manager. Well, they don't serve the. Okay, I take it back. There's a Starbucks inside Disneyland. Disneyland still serves their own, Nescafe or something like that. It's terrible coffee.
No, I mean, okay. I went to like one of those, last time I was at Disneyland, not California Adventure with you. So I think when we had Samuel there, I got from like a little coffee cart or something that wasn't a Starbucks. I got a coffee and it wasn't Nescafe. It was really good.
Okay. So maybe they've upped their coffee, but for years and years and years. But there's so right as you go down Main Street on the right hand side, there's an actual Starbucks there.
Just like in the 1890s.
Right. Well, I mean, to that I say, you know, there was Hills Brothers coffee in there. There's, you know, Carnation.
Yeah.
For many, many years. Not the first time.
I don't care about coffee. Right. And I didn't care about that drink. So I ended up paying $35 for two drinks. We didn't even finish because they were so bad.
Wow.
And the people at the table we were sharing it with, the place is beautiful. And there's a robot DJ and they do fun stuff with like a hyperdrive inside.
And the robot DJ is?
And
DJ Rex.
From Star Tours, And Paul Rubens recorded new dialogue.
Did that he? Was that Paul Rubens?
That's Paul, if that was him or not.
That's Paul Rubens.
We're trying to figure it out, but we think maybe that's Paul Rubens 30 years later. Yeah.
It is Paul, what it is. It is Paul Rubens 30 years
awesome.
Later.
It was the only disappointment from an otherwise fantastic, literally mind-blowing day was the super bad morning drinks. As a matter of fact, we met the manager of the whole place later and told him how bad those drinks were.
Okay, so
there's no booze in them.
So maybe they're going to.
I bet they're going to ban.
I have a feeling they're going to take a lot of this feedback into account because, as you know, on the commercials, they're telling people after June 24th, you don't need a reservation. Yeah. So.
Although one other thing is when we went for the cast member preview, we weren't allowed to bring our phones. So everything had to be locked in a plastic bag, which I should not tell this to Disney. I'd pay real money if they made you lock up your phone when you walked in the park. You had to talk to your family.
How would I take pictures of the magical day?
You have a camera.
But the thing is,
the menus were really dark and the cantina was dark and we're trying to read it and nobody had a light. No one had a phone. And our waiter, clearly brand new, and I think it was his first morning shift ever because he didn't know what was in the morning drinks and everyone at the table couldn't read what the menus were.
Yeah.
And so that was the only disappointment. It was $35 for crappy drinks I didn't finish.
The thing
with no booze.
The thing with that I think I'd say like I like most about Oga's Cantina is especially with DJ Rex. I think having him there is like a pretty cool thing. And as you're sitting down and enjoying like the music that's playing, many things happen where it references back to the original Star Tours. Like he's saying original things like, oh, it's your first time here? Yeah, it's mine too. And like all these different things.
There's this whole
point where there's like this power surge. Yeah, there's this huge power surge. And all of a sudden, that's where he says something like that, where it kind of all boots back up, where you have to clap to get things to start back up.
Does he ever yell comets at any point during the...
We didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that.
I would have fit that one in there. But okay, cool. So then let's talk about... So you guys sounds like that's the getting into the land. Let's talk about the 45-minute time limit because they're not also promoting that either. They kind of are, but I'm wondering how they're enforcing that. Did you guys experience that?
They watch you like a hawk when you're in there.
Oh, do they?
Like, I was with my buddy at a table. I got up to walk around him, and they walked around. Three different customers like, do you have a seat? Did you leave your seat? Where? You know, they want to know where I was going. I'm just walking around. Like I saw another friend of ours, went over and said hi, and instantly they're like, are you leaving? Because they were ready to bring in more.
That people. Seems obnoxious.
But it didn't seem that annoying. And I was ready to hate everything. And I thought it was not annoying at the least.
The thing with it is that it's only a 45 minute if you're in a seated position. If you're standing at the bar, you have unlimited time, but you're still
Restricted to two drinks.
So there's 45
minutes. How do they track those two drinks? Like, I mean, if you send somebody up there to get your drink, you could get more than two drinks.
Well, the thing is, it's like you have your still waiters that come around. Like, it's like kind of, you're not at the bar. You're like in this like standing table. And then you have your waiters.
So is it two alcoholic drinks?
Yes.
Maximum, or is it two drinks period maximum?
I believe it's just alcoholic.
Okay. It's alcohol.
So they don't want drunk people in Disneyland.
So the 45 minute time limit is only for Oga's Cantina.
Yes.
They don't kick you out of Star Wars Land after 45 minutes.
No.
You got up here 4 hours.
Sorry.
Okay. 4 hours, yeah.
Galaxy's Edge.
I do have a friend who's a professional bartender who said on a scale of 1 to 10, he gave their evening drinks a 5.
Okay.
And he and his buddies, who were all bartenders, they said they ordered every single drink they could. Because he said they're not handmade. They're just like batch made. But
interesting.
I would still like to try those because at least they had booze in them.
Well, after June 24th, if you get your annual pass.
No, but I am going to go in September. I'm going to take my wife in September. My first thought was when everybody goes back to school and the crowds die down slightly, I will bring her back immediately because it was unlike anything I've ever seen at any park ever.
I'm going to experience that morning menu when I go, but I'm going to be in Disney World inadvertently, and this was not planned, the day before we arrive is the day that Star Wars Land in Hollywood Studios opens, and we avoided that intentionally, and then Disney, for whatever reason, moved up the opening date in Florida, so we're going to be there in Florida for Star Wars Land.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, no, that's the opposite word of whatever enjoy is. Okay, so let's talk about so Diane's advice up to, and David, would you have the same advice? What did you do? So Diane went to Smuggler's Run and then the Cantina. When you guys went in, where was the first thing that you guys did?
We went to the Cantina first.
Okay.
Because we've been told by several people that's what you should do. You did the better thing by going on the attraction first. How many times did you go on it?
Just the once.
Okay. Because they do a little thing.
They actually marked our bands.
They marked your bands so you couldn't go on it twice in your 4-hour period.
Wow. Okay.
But we knew people. And so somebody just walked us. I mean, nobody walked us right on the ride the second time.
I got to fly it twice.
Talking to the mic. Oh.
Yeah,
they only marked your bands for the cast preview. For other people who are coming in with the reservation, they're allowed to go on it as many times as they want, as long as it's before your 4-hour.
My wife has this. My wife and I, in talking about Star Wars Land, and the fact that only one attraction is open. Now, did you see? Her phrase was, "People are going to be content to stand there and weep." So
yes,
absolutely,
she's 100% right.
I'm assuming that.
No, I saw many people just brought to silence and just standing in awe.
And 4 hours was plenty of time, too.
It really was. I mean, granted, once Rise of the Resistance opens later this year, that's another attraction coming.
In walking around, can you see where Rise of the Resistance is supposed to go?
Yes, you can walk right past the entrance.
What's weird is I remember seeing the construction of it with the giant AT-ATs, and that building is huge. It's like a Costco warehouse-sized building.
It is immense.
When you are in Star Wars Land, you can't see it.
It's buried behind forest, basically. Yeah, they built this forest.
And it dawned on me, wait, I used to look at this building for months and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's you can't see anything outside the park. Every single element of that land is just perfect.
So before we continue, I'm going to give you guys, there's been several top 10 lists. This is just one that I pulled off the internet. The top 10 things to do in Galaxy's Edge. So number one was get a drink at Oga's Cantina. Number two was pilot the Millennium Falcon, Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. Number three was build your own custom lightsaber at Savi's Workshop.
If you have $200.
If you have $200.
A lack of sense.
I have heard, I've heard described as a religious experience.
I will attest to that. Yes, it was.
Wow.
I went.
Okay. Did you build a
lightsaber? I did not build a saber. One in our party did.
Okay.
And I believe in the future, the only persons allowed into it were going to be the people who are paying to build. And if it's a child, it'll be an adult accompanied.
Yeah.
But for the preview, they allowed our entire 6-person party to go in and watch our one party do it. And it was a 20-minute presentation show quality. Really good moving experience.
How does it compare? And we're going to make a lot of comparisons in the future to Harry Potterville. And how does this compare to the Ollivander's experience at Universal Studios?
I have not experienced an Ollivander's Wand Ceremony except for online, but Kate has. She can probably tell you the difference.
It is so much better
Wow.
than Ollivander's.
Okay.
Because with this, you're having everyone in the room take part. It's not like Ollivanders where they're like, oh, you're the special one. You get to see which wand you want. This brings everyone together and working together to build your own lightsaber. And when you get there to Savi's workshop, it is presented as, oh, would you like to see our scraps? Because they're bringing in the show that this is a secretive place to be with the First Order walking around.
They won't. Yeah, there's no. Yeah. The one thing I thought was cool was all the signage in the whole park is in their own language.
Right.
And with the Disneyland app on your phone, you can translate it.
Okay.
But when you ask where lightsabers are, people would say, we don't have lightsabers. Mm-hmm. Then they would like tell you not to talk about it.
Yep.
Then somebody else comes over, do you want a lightsaber? And they would tell you where to go.
Okay.
So we went up to the place. We saw the line all day. And we're like, what is this? And they go, oh, we just sell scrap metal, mm-hmm. scrap parts. And I'm like, huh. He says, yeah, that's it. Nothing else. Just scrap metal. People like scrap metal.
Right, we're sons,
like,
move
my
on.
Friend goes, really? He goes, yeah, we have some in the drawer if you want to see what it's like. And he pulls the drawer open and it's pieces of a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, if you want to buy a $200 flashlight.
There's
no lightsaber technology. I don't know if you know that. Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean,
but the experience, though, for it is what makes it worth the money, really.
So David and I are former cast members. Do you think that that's going to start frustrating people when they can't get a straight answer to a question?
No. The best way to enjoy Star Wars Land is, first of all, call it Star Wars Land. And second of all, you have to
go in with the mindset
that it's like you're like role playing, that it's like a Renaissance fair. You will get more out of it.
That's it. I'm out.
If you play along, and I'm not the kind of guy that always likes to play along. I'm like, just talk to me like a human. But if you play along, it is much more
fun. I just saw John roll his eyes over there.
It is. But you know what?
I'm not a Star Wars fan, but that does sound fun because like when I go to Universal Studios for Harry Potter and I do, you know, I'm Slytherin and I've got the death mark on my arm. I do the fake tattoo. Yeah. And I will.
She's like, and what?
And then how the cast members will, like, I've had cast members like hiss at me or like boo, and that makes it more fun.
Yeah. Like, okay, the three of you heard me rail about Star Wars Land, and how much fun did I make of it?
Like I think it was a lot. If you are listening and you go back to our previous episode, there's about a 20-minute portion where David just rails on
it. I railed on it so mercilessly, and I felt like I was a 10-year-old kid the whole time I was there. I can't imagine someone being more cynical about it than I was, and it blew me away. And a friend of ours, who is now an attractions manager there, she said her favorite thing to do was sit at the entrance to Star Wars Land. She didn't call it that. And said she watches people's faces as they come up the tunnel and see it. She goes every single person's mouth drops open.
Yeah. It's incredible.
And they're just stunned. And I went, that's exactly what I did. Yeah. It's like every single detail is perfect. Everything, like there was a lady selling water bottles at a water bottle station, but everything was in that own language. All you could see was $4.50. It couldn't have been $4.50. It was Disney. It must have been $9.50. But whatever. And it's not dollars. It's all in credits. And
yes,
like,
yes.
And the restaurants is, you know,
which you do,
serves different food.
You can purchase a Disney gift card in the shape of galactic credits.
Oh, that is cool.
And so
it was awesome. And I almost cried when we flew the Millennium Falcon and I was in Chewbacca's seat. And when you have to go to light speed and you get to be the one to pull the throttle back, I'm like, oh my God, I'm 10 years old. And it was so we flew it again. I made my buddy, I'm like, you got to do it. You got to be in the Chewbacca seat because you got to go to hyperspace.
All right. So continuing with the list, drink a blue milk.
Did we have the blue milk? We did that. Okay. I did that for sure. It was good.
What was it like? Like what? Like
a blue raspberry slushy.
It was a lot like more like a slushy than milk.
Except if you, there was one interview that I read or one video that I watched. They interviewed the head chef, you know, the executive chef of the resort and the person in charge of Star Wars Island. And there's like, there's no blueberry. And they insisted that there was no blueberry.
It's
in
like
it.
Coconut
it's
milk.
Blue raspberry. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He's like, absolutely. He's like, it's the color of it playing tricks on your mind. So.
It's leftover boysenberry.
Right. Now, speaking of mind tricks real quick, though, there is one drink in Olga's Cantina that's called the Jedi mind trick. And you look at it, you're thinking like, this looks like it's going to taste fruity.
Pineapple.
Like pineapple, pina colada kind taste. And when you taste it, you are met with something completely different. How would you even describe that, Mom? I don't even know what
it was. It was infused with rose, and it was grapefruit flavor. Grapefruit infused with like a rose.
Oh, wow.
Something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did anybody eat a Ronto wrap or braised shack roast?
We did not.
Okay. David, did you get any of the food items, the Ronto wraps? I've heard are very good.
We went to Docking Bay 7.
Okay.
And I got the ribs, which were really, really good. Okay. I wanted to try the wraps because they had a sausage thing that looked really good, but my buddy wanted...
Was it a seasonal sausage?
Whatever season they were having there.
Oh, God.
But the Docking Bay 7 was... The whole atmosphere was fun to eat at, and the food was really good. It was like... pork ribs and then or whatever animal space
was
animal.
Was this the outside area that had the spit going?
No, it was the inside. Oh. Inside restaurant.
I didn't see that.
It was really cool.
We didn't get to
it's called Docking Bay 7. It's up by by the Millennium Falcon up on the platform right next to where that rotating spit is. But it had a wide variety of food. It had salads, it had vegan stuff, it had all kinds of wonderful food.
Did anybody visit the droid depot to build a droid?
We went in there, okay. But we did not build anything.
We did not buy a $99 droid. That's not really a droid.
you mingle with the locals?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so obviously David was talking about...
We met Ray, and we Chewbacca. Met Vi, and Chewbacca.
And David was obviously saying that, like, you know, the cast members or the locals would, you know, interact with you in a way that, you know, we don't have any lightsabers, that kind of stuff.
There was a the rebel, I guess she was a pilot.
That's Vi.
That's Vi, yeah.
Sure, Vi. Sure. But she came up while we were talking to a manager. She came by and she's like looking around all nervous and she's like, you know, if you see any First World, whatever they're called, Imperial.
First Order.
First World Order people. That's my other prediction. I've kind of given you my second prediction about Star Wars Land. Okay. First one is those morning beverages will be gone and no one will mourn their death. Just like, never mind, I was going to do a Lion King joke. Second of all, this is my other prediction. It may not happen, but I think it will. I think that the last three of these new Star Wars films, like The Last Jedi and the other one, whatever, they're so bad. And I think this new one, the Skywalker's one, isn't going to make things any better. I think eventually, it might be 5 years from now, might be 6-7 years from now, that Star Wars Land is going to change to be the Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker era. When they realize, yeah, these new three movies suck. Everybody wants to see Darth Vader. They want to see regular stormtroopers. They want to see Luke. And they'll switch it back.
Which is why I think that I agree with you that it would be amazing for them to build a Star Wars theme park.
Oh my God.
You could have
Hoth, Tatooine, you could have the jungle.
Endor, it would be, yeah. You could have, all of these things. Okay.
So, I get Daniel Pass for that, and I don't even like Star Wars.
All right. So you made us, and then the last one on the list is visit Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities.
Yes.
Did anybody visit the Den of Antiquities?
Oh, we did do that, yes.
Where was that? What was that? Did I see
that? The animatronic alien in the cage?
No, that's the creature stall. The one that the ones with the little dolls, like they had the tiny, like little ones that,
Is that the Jedi one? The Jedi?
Yeah, it's like the little costume shop one. And,
Oh no, I'm talking about the big one that you go into and it had, remember where I saw the box that looked like the Hellraiser box? Remember?
Oh, yes, that shop. Yes, yes, yes.
It had
a
huge animatronic guy behind a cage that was an alien, really cool looking. And he would.
Where was that? I don't think I saw that.
Was he like
pressing? That's the problem with not having signage everywhere.
It was up above. Yeah, we couldn't tell where anything was. Yeah. Right where the scrap shop was, uh-huh. Up those stairs to the right. It was like the first door.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was Hammerhead.
And he had the giant Banta in there or whatever that thing was. It looked like an abominable snowman.
The guy's name was Hammerhead in the little cage.
Yes. Yeah, Hammerhead. That guy was Star Wars. Cool.
Yeah, he was very cool.
It was very well done.
That was like a religious place for like the dark. I'm like, oh, it's all dark side stuff. Then you turn and then there's the light side of the Jedi. Oh, they're going to fight. This is just...
It was really cool.
Yeah.
That was neat.
And the bazaar, the outside bazaar...
It was fantastic.
...was themed beautifully.
And I like the resistance area out in the countryside, because you leave the city and you go out into like...
Yeah. Yes, like a forest, where Rise of the Resistance will be.
Yep. And that was really neat, too.
It was, where you saw the X... What was it, X-Wing?
X-Wing and then the A-Wing fighter.
Yes.
And that's where Chewbacca was hanging out.
Yeah, that's where we saw...
And
the neat thing is little theming things like droid imprints in the cement.
Yep.
The animal noises coming from the everything was beautiful. You're standing in line for the canteen and you hear spaceships going overhead.
Bring the mic a little bit closer to you.
Hi, I'm back.
That was the great thing. You'd be in line or talking to somebody. I was talking to four or five people and you hear a ship fly by and everyone's head snapped.
Everyone looks up.
Because the way the sound effect is, you hear it fly from one side to the other. You hear it.
Oh, it's cool. Done
like TIE fighters go by or you hear the Millennium Falcon take off. And seeing the Millennium Falcon live was...
Oh, God. I want to see it at night. I really want to go back at night.
I want to go back at night too.
Yeah.
And like the spires, there was not a detail there that took me out of the moment. The guys pushing the trash cans were themed. All their costumes are themed. They don't say have a magical day. It's always bright suns
and rising stuff like, moons.
And... Yeah. It's all that kind of good stuff. I've never seen anything like it in my life, okay, and I guarantee it's going to change the rest of the theme park industry. It was that good.
Wow. So let's talk about one final thing, which we David has kind of alluded to. Let's talk about the Smuggler's Run attraction. What are your – David, you had a religious moment in Chewbacca's seat. What are your impressions? What is the line like? I know that the chess area, like that's not really a line. Like it's just an area where you can kind of like – mingle, right? You just kind of like hang out.
Yeah.
Is that like a pre-ride thing? Like kind of like how? Okay.
They give you, well, you go through like a regular queue. It's all decorated. There's cool stuff to see and things. But then you walk like onto the deck of the Millennium Falcon, and I almost lost my mind then. And then they hand you these little cards. It's like a stack of six cards because they put you in groups of six to fly it, and it says pilot, engineer, or gunner. And we were the brown team and the orange team or whatever. Then you go into that little area of the Millennium Falcon with the chessboard and that little living space, I guess, of the Millennium Falcon. And you hang out there for like 5 minutes or so till they call your team. And then they line you up and you go in.
But how many people are in that section?
There are like maybe 20 people in there.
And then there's like two different sides. Like they kind of like split. But one thing that none of us have talked about, though, is Hondo Okinawa, space pirate, basically, if you want to go within the Star Wars franchise, about him as an animatronic and interactive character. He is incredibly detailed, and you walk in, and this like whole pre-show before you actually enter the Millennium Falcon, because people are probably wondering, and this is what I'm happy Disney went over, how are you entering the Millennium Falcon if it's in front of where you were just at? And so they have this whole thing where you see the Millennium Falcon like rise up on like a screen, and it kind of shifts over to the loading area. So it's as if it actually moved. And then that's the way you can enter through it.
I thought that was pretty clever.
I thought that was incredibly smart.
Nice. Yeah. What about when you pick who's the pilot and who's the gunner and all that, like, is one better than the other, or
the cast members choose it? They tell you.
They pick who
they
does
give
what.
You the cards.
Luckily, we had six in our party, so we all had decided prior to going on who was going to do what. Mm-hmm. So, the two younger girls in our group were the pilots, and then the men in our group were the gunners, and then the two moms were the engineers, and we maintained the ship's stability in space. So,
and you're like pressing buttons.
A job while you're on board. So not only are you trying to split your time watching what's going on, but you have a job to do. If something goes wrong as an engineer, the ship gets hit by something, or you run into a meteor, the buttons will light up on your panel next to you, and you have to press each of those buttons to deactivate it until something happens again. And then you got to push it again, and then
my engineers had to hit a lot of buttons because my buddy and I, we hit everything. And you get a score at the end. Yeah. And when we were done the first time, the doors open, and the guy goes, "Well, I've seen worse pilots of the Millennium Falcon, but not today." And
it's really nice. It's very interactive. Yeah. And I guess depending on how well you do when you leave, the atmosphere shifts in the exit, in the gangplank. Like sometimes the ship looks like it's broken up. Mm-hmm. And parts will be missing, like a panel will be pulled off and sparks will be flying, kind of thing, as you're exiting. So it tells you how poorly you did.
Yeah.
And then Hondo, of course, takes his cut of your trip. So, because he's the pirate and he's sending you on this mission, so he's going to take his cut.
Sure.
And your credit amounts go
down. Sounds a lot like Michael Eisner.
And apparently there's supposed to
be some...
He didn't
say he took all of it.
There's some way that the cast members know how well you did on your mission, like in the canteen. I don't know how that works.
It works through the app, your Disneyland app.
Okay, so you have to be using the app.
So it wasn't working for the cast member preview, yeah.
Right, because we can't have phones.
Yeah.
Which I also liked as well.
So... I love that, keeping your phones locked up. That was actually kind of awesome once I got used to it. Yeah. But I was talking to a friend of mine who works there afterwards, and she said, "Oh, how many things of coaxial did you get?" I'm like, "Oh, we just got the one." She went, "Oh, just one."
Yeah, we got two.
One? Yeah, we found out two if you do it right. Yeah. So
we did it right then.
Both times we only got one both times. So we screwed up. The second time we went, it was just three people in there, and when there's just three of you, you have to do more stuff because I was flying it, but right. Then there were buttons you had to hit to do repairing, and we both had to fire at certain times. So when that magical day happens where the park isn't that crowded, if there aren't six people in the Millennium Falcon, you have even more to do.
I heard
just like the movie. It was stunning.
That's awesome. I have heard that the reservations make it really enjoyable.
Yeah. So I think it was a wise choice.
Very well. It's almost like they had like 60 years of experience dealing with crowds. Yeah. It was almost like.
Well, clearly in Florida, they took none of that advice because they're just opening it up. Well, now in Florida, they're going to be doing like the extra magic hours. They're going to be opening the parks, actually opening them up at 6 a.m. To be able to get access to Galaxy's Edge. But it's going to be really interesting to see if they stick with this no reservations business in Florida, seeing how well it's working at Disneyland.
After the 24th, they're doing a virtual reservation system. I was able to find that out. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, what virtual reservation system where you get reservations for the rides and the cantina and whatnot. So that's how they're going to keep, because we asked them, what are we going to do when the crowds come? It would be insane. Like, no, virtual reservations for all of the rides and a lot of the restaurants.
So fast pass, but not fast pass.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Like they are bound and determined to make people use that Disneyland app.
They are.
And they need to update their infrastructure, because if there's more than 100 people in the park, that cell signal drops to a crawl every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time I'm in there.
I downloaded the app.
But... And it sucks your battery like nobody's business. It's like a battery
vampire. Which is why they sell fuel rods.
Right, which I own, but not everybody knows about that. So then, you know, you're sitting in the front of the Main Street Theater charging your phone. I own two fuel rods and a bunch of other, you know,
and stuff. I think at some of the restaurants, they have charging stations. I thought they did. Maybe I'm making that up. I might have been in an airport. I don't remember. I might have just invented that fact.
It certainly makes sense so they need to figure out a way to get you better cell reception in the park
Their sporks were cool. Like everything there was cool. Every single detail
was fantastic.
Yeah, and we'll post a picture of Sparky Skippy. We'll post a picture of Skippy on our Instagram and Facebook pages.
Because the creature stall was really cool.
Okay, what's that?
You walk in and there's like these like shelves full of these creatures that you can adopt. They have the I think it's called like the Kowakian lizard monkey or something like that.
Okay.
They also have a loth cat, which is.
He's
like
also
going to
get
really
us an explicit rating.
Oh. And they all each do something different. And apparently, like if you like pet the loth cat, you know, you can pretend to pet him. And if you pull on his tail, he turns angry and his mouth opens up.
Okay.
So
just like a real cat,
as a real cat would. And of course, they have like my Skippy. They have Porgs, where it's actually kind of like a puppet.
Oh, okay.
So you put your hand through, and there's like little two things.
Which is
not
like a real cat.
No, not like a real pork also. But you like there's one thing you can flap his wings, and his mouth opens, and he also makes noise. If you want me to turn it on,
sure. Yeah,
we gotta hear this. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, this is a good investment.
put him right up to the mic. Yeah, he made that noise with Kate's hand up inside him. So
I'd make that noise if it was on my hand. No, but they're super cute, and there's many.
Adopt them, us love you.
You can also adopt like a bantha.
Skippy, this is a safe place.
You can like adopt a bantha, and I forget the horn, like the giant, the one snow monster Luke Skywalker fought, the bantha, and the blanking on its name. What is it called?
Fred. It's Mufasa. His name is Mufasa.
Okay, back to being muted.
but no. They also, apparently, though, on the quiet side, one of these creatures, and I have no idea what it's called, but it's like this white spider kind of creature you can adopt. And apparently, it's hinting to a new creature, coming out to be in The Rise of Skywalker.
I do something with spiders, but adopt is not one of them.
Amen.
I do many things with spiders. But
true.
All right. So we're going to put a picture of Skippy on our Facebook page and on our Instagram. And that's awesome, you guys. Thank you for coming in and sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. And I'll plug it again. Friday, June 7th from 8 to 12, we're going to be live streaming and creating a new vlog. So make sure to check out our channel. Make sure to tell all your friends. That was awesome. And again, thank you for sharing your experiences with us. Any final words? Any final closing thoughts on Star Wars Galaxy's Edge that do not involve The Lion King?
I was so happy that I was wrong.
Okay.
I've never been more happy to be incorrect
and nobody,
in my
life. And this is a genuine statement. Nobody made fun of it more mercilessly than you did. I mean, that includes me. And I did it pretty,
Yes.
I will say that at first when I heard that Batuu was coming to Disneyland, I was very kind of skeptical. And I was a little upset because I absolutely loved the Frontierland petting zoo with like all the goats and the ranch.
Big Thunder Ranch, yeah.
Yeah, I really.
That was one of my favorite places.
Yeah, I missed it. And I was like kind of upset at first. But walking into a whole different planet that you're not usually, you know, you're walking into, when you walk through there, you do not feel like you're back on Earth. You feel like you're completely somewhere else. Wow. And just the atmosphere, the costumes, the entire land itself, all the how the details to the spires. Because at first you thought, like when you look at them from far away, they're rocks, but you can actually see on certain parts of the spires that's cut away. You can see the root of the tree, and you can see like kind of the rings of what would be inside the tree and the moss. Yeah, the moss is crazy realistic. I actually thought it was real. But no, the plants and everything, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I think with that being said, I'm already wanting to go back so bad to Batuu. Wow. Oh,
yeah. Okay. But you can't because you're blocked.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't till August. So. Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So what I'm going to do is if you've made it this far, obviously, I'm going to put a little tag on.
This is our longest episode ever.
This is our longest episode ever.
Well, there's also more of us than normal.
It'll be edited down to 20 minutes.
Put a little, we'll get all that wrong Lion King talk out of the way. I'm going to put a tag at the beginning of the episode, a little, not a disclaimer, but just a little advertisement. I'm going to split this Star Wars Galaxy's Edge portion off into a separate, shorter podcast so that way people who are just looking for information on Galaxy's Edge don't not have to, because you should sit through the whole show. But if you are looking for just us discussing our impressions of Galaxy's Edge, I'm going to split that off into a shorter podcast. So if you guys know anybody out there, please promote the that portion of the episode. But I think that's going to do it. Thank you guys so very much for showing your impressions. Guys, do you have any final questions, Brandis, John, about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge?
I saw on a video like you could buy like the clothes right there.
But robes. They have robes and robes vests and belts.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah.
And like, is there a lot of pieces to it? Are they expensive or?
The robe I saw was $125, I think. And the belts were about $30.
The robes are $125?
I was shocked how expensive everything is there. The food's not expensive, but if you want any kind of
really,
item.
Really, because they spent $1 billion on it. I'm not.
And they've already made it back. They've already made it back.
$550 for it. Thermal detonator or Coke.
All of their toys and gimmicks and stuff were just stunningly expensive.
No, I just see a printing press of money every time I see it.
I would say if you were to buy anything, I'd get a lightsaber. Okay. It's really, the experience is worth it. It's very an emotional kind of experience.
Wow. I teared up.
Yeah, I did too. So, and it's hard to make
me
cry.
But then again, I cried at The Lion King.
No comment.
All right. Well, you can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, Instagram @VLPodcast, our Twitter @VacationlandShow, or you can always email us or David with your angry emails, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I'd like to thank everyone at the table for joining us. Thank you, John. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, Dr. David. Thank you, Kate. And thank you, Diane. That's going to do it for us. My name is Chris Ramirez. I'm the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've enjoyed your stay in Vacationland. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.